This is St. Louis Public Radio. Recent racial unrest on college campuses has brought a renewed focus to an old problem. St. Louis Public Radio's Dale Singer recently came upon a document written more than 40 years ago that tried to help Black students at Washington University feel more comfortable on their new campus. He went to find the people behind it.
When Ralph Hargrove arrived at Washington University, he became part of a campus going through the same kind of drastic change that was hitting the nation as a whole.
That particular year, 1969, was probably the largest diverse freshman class for that college coming off of the tumultuous 60s.
The previous year, students had confronted the chancellor and presented a Black manifesto. It addressed a group that had branded conservative bigots, and the manifesto called for freedom for Black students from subtle, stifling racism. In that atmosphere, Hargrove saw that his fellow Black students could use help navigating their new environment.
But I do remember being cautious my freshman year. St. Louis back then was very, very segregated. It wasn't as easy to know your way around without assistance as I have found other cities.
So in his senior year, Hargrove and friends put together the campus's first Black student guide. It was part survival manual, part academic catalog. It had everything from a list of Black faculty members to the location of a 24-hour white castle. And it answered pressing personal questions, like where can you find a barber who knows how to cut Black people's hair?
Many of us were wearing afros back then. I'm completely bald now, but I had a head of hair to die for back then. And many of us didn't know where we could go for a haircut. It's not so much about feeling like an alien in a suburban environment. It was, how do we navigate our way through the urban environment?
To write the introduction to the guide, Hargrove enlisted fellow student Chesia Thompson, editor of a campus literary magazine. Today, Thompson fondly remembers her days at Washington U. She specifically recalls how longtime Administrator Gloria White and Chancellor William Danforth understood the importance of commencement ceremonies to Black students and their families. Typically, graduates would be introduced as a class, not individually.
We told them that our parents, my parents, and a lot of parents who had never graduated from high school had to see us walk because that was part of the tradition. That they should see us walk across that stage and get something from him that said that we had done what we were supposed to do when we were graduating.
The administration listened.
And we all walked. It was a long ceremony, but we all walked. And our parents cried and, you know, it's remembered and loved and all of that.
That tradition didn't last, but racial sensitivity has. Kendall Maxwell is a senior economics major who has read the 1973 guide. She says last year's killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson sharpened views on race, and today's campus climate for African-American students has echoes of 40 years ago.
It's kind of nice to know you're part of this continuum of Black students on a predominantly white campus that are trying to figure out ways to support each other and ways to excel in the things that they love to do and make your voices heard on campus.
Ralph Hargrove, who went on to a career in HR, says he keeps a copy of the guide in his home office. He hadn't looked at it in a while, but he calls reading it a pleasant trip down memory lane.
I think how good it was to be young, how great it is to be wiser, but if I had much of it to do over again, the Washington University chapter of my life is not one that I would undo.
After that initial publication, the guide went through at least two more editions after Hargrove and Thompson graduated. I'm Dale Singer, St. Louis Public Radio.